Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of The Co-op Show. I don't know why I'm so sing-songy. I'm one of your hosts, Britt.
And I'm Jason.
And today, we're talking about our time patiently communicating with one another while trying to escape from a mysterious medieval castle, and we were here. I always look to you for approval. I know, like, that wasn't, like, the wittiest one I've ever come up with, but it wasn't terrible.
I give you it's like a 5 out of 10.
Okay, you do better.
That's average.
I am so deeply offended. A 5 out of 10 in our industry, that's like, don't buy this shit. Stay the fuck away. Wait till it's in the bargain bin.
5 out of 10 is average. That's straight up average. And you've set a high bar.
Okay, would you rather have me say this? And today we're talking about our time freaking out over phantoms, like the little bitches we are, and we were here.
Okay, I like that one better. That's like a 7 out of 10.
Because that's you. You're the
bitch.
Yeah,
we're going to get to that, though. Don't you spoil the surprise here.
Anyway, happy Friday, or whenever you are listening to this episode. I see you are sipping a nice glass of whiskey, Jason.
Maybe just a little.
Is that a little reflective of how your week went this week?
Oh, you know, pandemic life.
Listen, it's not easy being a business owner and, you know, you just having to put people in their places. And
what, is this like an ad for my business now?
No. I just the whiskey smells really good and I'm kind of sad I don't have a glass right now. Yeah. I can smell it. It's like wafting into my nostrils.
Cannot have any. This is mine.
I know, you're hoarding it. Like, what's that dragon in Lord of the Rings? I don't know why.
I don't know.
I don't know why I asked you.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know his name. Oh, yeah.
Smog. How do I know that? You don't. Anyway.
Smog. That sounds Smog. Right.
But no, friends, we've had a good week. It's been busy. We currently have a bathroom remodel going on, which has been pretty taxing. We've had that going on, for like 3 weeks now?
Yeah, we got.
And then it's our master bathroom. So that means that we are all camped out. Jason, me, and the dog in one of our other rooms of the house.
Yeah, we're camped out in the living room with our bed out there. And it's quite a mess, but it's also kind of fun. It feels like a camp out.
It does. It feels like a big slumber party. Yeah. Now if we can just crimp our hair and paint our nails, we're doing good. But anyway, we are here to talk about We Were Here. So this game has had a few releases, but its first release was in February of 2017 on Steam, but it released on Xbox in September of 2019 and just came to PlayStation last month. This is a puzzle game rated E10+, developed and published by Total Mayhem Games, again available on Steam, Xbox, and PlayStation. It supports online co-op player, online cooperative play for up to 2 people, and the MSRP is a whopping $4.99, which actually is good. I mean, obviously that's a cheap price, but considering that if you're going to play this, you need 2 copies to play it. One for you, one for your partner.
That's
you can
a good
think
point,
of it as
then.
Like a $9.99.
And you have to play it with a co-op partner. I mean,
you
there's no way to play it without.
Or you will be fucked.
Yeah. Well, don't get fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, unless.
Anyway, so it's worth it's worth noting that.
You can get fucked if you want to get fucked. I don't care.
Yeah, you live your best life.
Yeah.
This is a judgment-free zone. I want to note that there are 3 games in the series, but we're only talking about the first one today, which again is called We Were Here, but there is a trilogy on sale, a trilogy package, if you will, that you can get for like $20.
I will. I didn't, but I will.
Oh, I'm going to kick your ass.
I'd like to see you try.
No, that means I'd have to go across the room. That's a lot of effort. Okay, so the plot overview.
Just to try and get my whiskey.
I know. I'm just going to tackle you for the whiskey. It looks real good. So you are lost in a frozen wasteland and you are split up from your partner inside an abandoned castle. The only possession you have left is a walkie-talkie with a familiar voice on the other end. Can the two of you find your way out in time? Are you ready to find out how well you and your friends work together? If you like living on the edge, try playing with a complete stranger. Could you imagine?
I would not play this game with a complete stranger. I think that would be awkward as fuck,
yeah.
Honestly.
So this game is also described as 2 players are trapped inside an abandoned castle, with player 1 confined to the small secluded part of the castle, as player 2 roams the halls trying to find player 1. Every room will challenge your wits and ability to communicate clearly, using only your voice, which again is why I think playing with a stranger would be very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I would not recommend that. I didn't do it, but just thinking about it, I'm like, oh hell.
I feel like communication is hard enough, let alone with like a complete stranger.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you and I had to really communicate well and clearly, and we've been married we've been together for like 10 years, so like we've developed communication skills.
We know how to talk to one another
far better than random strangers.
So the first thing we had to figure out when we downloaded this game, and I've had my eye on this bad boy for a while, is how do we play it? And what I mean by that is downstairs in our main living room, we have side-by-side TVs. And this game is clearly designed, though, to be played with two people who are not in the same room. So what we did is you went upstairs in our new pseudo bedroom.
Yep.
And I stayed downstairs. I joked on what's good that I made you go upstairs, but I realized that I got the shitty end of that deal because you got the most comfortable couch and the biggest projector screen. But, you know, and then at least I got Reb. Reb stayed downstairs.
Well, that's
with me.
True. Reb did stay with you.
Yeah.
Leaving me all alone for literally my worst nightmare.
We'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, so we decided to play this in two total different rooms. And we tried to use the in-game voice chat, but for some reason we could not get it to work. I don't know if it was a headset issue or...
Yeah, we tried, like, we had like a few headsets laying around that we've accumulated over the years from like PAX and E3 and shit. And we tried two or three of these, and we just could not get the audio to work. So eventually, we just fucking called each other on our cell phones, put it on speaker.
Yeah, it worked just fine.
It worked.
Back in our day, before we had Discord.
Yeah.
This is how you played WoW with your friends, is you call them and...
You just put the phone on speaker and set it down next to you, and there you go.
There you go. There's your, like, new Discord.
Yep.
So this game is in first person, and like we said earlier, you're in this dungeon, which is technically called Castle Rock. You didn't know that, did you? And the door's all shut behind you, and you have to venture forth. And so from my perspective, because I still haven't even seen what the game has looked like from yours.
Yeah.
Again, both in first person. My screen opens up, and I am in a castle. There's a locked door in front of me, and there's some weird symbols. And this is the very first puzzle. And there's some symbols on the wall. And what I need to do is describe to Jason, who's in another room, like, okay, this is what I see. This is what the symbols look like. Oddly enough, all the symbols we described, whether or not they looked like dicks.
I think they did that on purpose.
You think, it's like, okay, it's a fat dick. Oh, it's a skinny dick. Oh, this dick has a little thing coming out of it. You know, that's how we describe the symbols because we are mature, responsible adults.
Yep.
So I would describe what I'm seeing to you. And then on your end, what did you have?
So on my end, I would try to take what you're telling me you're seeing and try to fit it with what I'm seeing. We need to figure out how and where is this relevant.
So did you have books?
Yeah, there were like
our maps.
Yeah, so what
like
I was
what?
Seeing was I was in like a castle, like a castle tower, and there are bookshelves with various books on them. There's wooden tables.
I like the way you say books.
Books. Fair enough. I'll take that and just kind of continue on. But yeah, there's like wooden tables and there's maps and there's books and there's like random levers and there's symbols on the walls and there's doors that are closed and doors that are open. And there's nothing that tells me or you what to do. It's just like, all right, tell me what you see. Okay, well, I'm in a room and you describe it. And then, so as you were telling me, like, okay, I see some symbols in front of me. Well, as I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, I see symbols too. Let's figure out how these are relevant then. And then you start describing to me, okay, well, this looks like a skinny dick with like a jizz coming out of it.
Goddamn.
And I'm like, okay, I totally see that skinny dick with the jizz coming out of it. Okay, and do you see like a fat cat with no legs? And you'd be like, yeah, yeah. Or wait, no, I see a skinny cat with legs. Like shit like that. And so then we were able to figure out, okay, based on what I can see and you can see, maybe this is what we have to do. And we were able to sort of figure out by telling each other what we can see, what the puzzle even is and what we need to do. It was really interesting.
It was. It was a really fun concept. It's like, again, I don't know if we've mentioned this because my memory is shit, like an escape room.
Oh, we didn't mention it, but I completely agree. This was like, and I actually think we said on one of the last shows that it was like an escape room, but this was even more like an escape room.
You mean like 39 Days to Mars?
No, it wasn't 39 Days to Mars. It was another one where I felt like...
I can't even remember past last week. But yeah, this is like the most escapey room video game that I think we've played. And it's a really fun concept. So I was the explorer, and Jason was the librarian. And you choose who's who at the beginning of the lobby screen, essentially.
Right.
And so that's why I had a lot more movement in terms of like I had mazes I needed to traverse, and Jason more or less had the guides. He had the maps with him and he had to kind of tell me where to go. And for the most part, I mean, it worked really well. It's a great concept executed. Yeah. There's just a few little, I would say, hiccups with it. Some of the puzzles were a little unforgiving because some of them you are timed.
Yeah, and it takes like a death or two before you even figure out what you're supposed to do on that puzzle. Because like there's one where you walk into this room and immediately you're on a timer. And before we even figured out what we were supposed to do, you died.
Oh, so yeah.
It wasn't until like you died a couple of times that we were like, oh, well, this is what we're supposed to do here.
Yeah, there's one puzzle and we won't get into two specifics, but it involves chess. Let's just say it involves chess. And you know, I'm a very, very intelligent woman, yes, but I don't know shit about chess.
I'm like, all right, move your pawn two squares
forward.
Okay, I
know what a pawn is.
No, you, okay, what was it? It was the bishop.
It was like the rook.
It was the bishop. I'm like, move your bishop three squares diagonal. You're like, I don't know what the fuck a bishop is. I'm like, how do you not know what a bishop is? You're like 32 or something. I don't know how old you are.
I know what a bishop is. I just don't know what a bishop is in chess. I don't know.
Wait. What is a non-chess bishop?
It's a religious figure. Duh.
Okay. So the chess bishop, he has like a cross on him, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So the nice little clue there.
Oh, yeah.
I would say if you're going to play this game, have the person who knows what chess pieces are be the explorer.
Give me a break. The problem, too, though, here's the main issue, friends, is normally, you know, Jason would be able to describe to me, okay, you dumbass, like the bishop is the thing with the cross on it, whatever. But the issue was that you were on a timer, and in this particular room, your field of vision slowly narrows and narrows.
Oh, as the time ticks
and narrows as the time ticks.
You get blinder and blinder.
Right, which means you can't see anything besides a small little part of your screen. So your vision is obstructed, and you know, the details.
Kind of like that feeling. I didn't mean to interrupt, but.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Holy shit. Friends, our dog literally just broke into the podcast.
He just busted into the studio. He just opened the door. How did you do that?
Hey dude. Like I thought I had shut it, but clearly I hadn't. Hi buddy.
All right. What was I saying?
That scared the shit out of me.
Boom. And we just got like busted in on.
God, you fatty. Like all we're just basically saying is that some of the timers are a little annoying in the sense that we couldn't take our time with it because like your field of vision just goes narrower and narrower. And
oh yeah. It's like, you know, that feeling when you stand up too fast and like you start to kind of like brown out or black out. You need to like sit back down. Like that's what happens to your vision as the time ticks by on some of these puzzles. Cause I had it happen to me too, on one of the other puzzles. I don't know how much we want to give away about these puzzles.
Yeah, we don't want
to. So I don't want to give too many details, but yeah, it happened to me too.
Yeah. So I would say like that's one criticism that we had is that some of the puzzles were a little unforgiving. There were a few instances where the checkpointing wasn't ideal because there are times where if you fail the puzzle, one of the characters will air quote die. There's never like a death animation screen or anything like that. But sometimes you'd have to repeat the puzzle over again, which I mean isn't too terrible because the puzzle solution changes a little bit. It varies, but nothing like too crazy.
Yep.
But there was one puzzle in particular, and again, like we won't like go into the specifics of everything, but you were freaking out. It was like it gave me so much joy to listen to you.
Joy? What the hell?
Squeal.
I want a divorce. All right. So literally as a kid, my worst nightmare was it was a recurring nightmare. And it was where I was in bed and I would look out the window. And out the window the whole world was like flooded. The water was right up to my window and the whole house, my house was on fire. And I'm laying in bed in my dream and my window is to the left. Every time as I look at the window, I can see off in the far distance, like a dragon, but it's like an inflatable dragon, but never mind that. It's a dragon.
You were scared of an inflatable dragon.
I don't know. I was a fucking child, all right? So if I look to my right so that the window is out of my field of vision and then I look back to the left, the dragon is incrementally closer. So in my dream, every time I look away from the window and then look back at it, the dragon gets closer to me. But I never see it actually move. It only seemingly moves if I'm not looking at it.
I have that same sort of nightmare, but with zombies.
Okay.
With Resident Evil.
So in the dream, I feel like I have to keep looking at this fucking dragon through the window.
Because if I look away,
he's going to get closer. Well, eventually in the dream, he finally gets to me And he, you know, breathes more fire into the house and kills me.
Does he breathe like inflatable fire?
No, it's just like badass baller, like you're fucked fire. And so anyway, that's my recurring nightmare. I probably had that nightmare 20 times as a kid. I mean, I can still picture it vividly. Well, that fucking nightmare is in this game.
There's a puzzle.
Except it's not a dragon. It is a bat-winged phantom ass motherfucker, and he gets closer to you if you don't look at him.
Right. And the whole point of the puzzle
but then look back.
Is you have to look away from him.
Yes.
To coordinate with the other person, which happened to be me. And I was just cackling listening to you just like literally panic on the other end.
I'm sitting in the dark upstairs. You had the dog, so I'm all alone.
Oh.
Living my worst nightmare. Literally. Up here, and I died twice to it because it got so close to me that it eventually killed me.
But you never got like a death animation or like
well,
a
no,
jump
but
scare.
My vision completely blacked out.
Okay, but you never got like a jump scare or anything.
No, there's no jump scare. But at one point I did. I mean, every time I would look at it, it would be closer and closer. Yeah. At one point, it's fucking sitting like it's right up in my grill. And I know that if I look away one more time, it's going to get me. But I have to do the puzzle. And then it gets me. So
this game definitely has like a little bit of creepiness factor to it. But I just want to make sure I drill it home that there's no jump scares. There's nothing too creepy in it. Obviously, like the Phantom, if you're scared of inflatable dragons like Jason is, like that'll freak you out. The only weird thing I did see, and this is some weird Easter egg that I haven't been able to like quite confirm its purpose, is when I was in this like labyrinth maze and you were guiding me, I found or like what looked to be someone dragging a body or something. It was like, I don't know.
I remember you saying something about
that. I was like, that was weird. But that was it. I mean, this game isn't spooky and really in any way, shape, or form. So you don't have to worry about.
It's a little spooky.
I mean, it's not a horror game though.
It's like, not a horror
no,
game.
No, it's not even spooky. I don't even want to say it's that. It just, right. There's a few parts where you're like, I'm in an abandoned castle. And yeah. That in itself is a little weird, but there's nothing that's like deliberately there trying to creep you out.
Right. No, I agree with that. Except for the fucking phantom that, I mean, this thing looks like a fat rat or like a phantom rat bat man conglomeration.
And you want to, if that's what you're into, I can make that costume a reality.
It's got like big glowing eyes.
Oh, God. But other than like those few criticisms, you know, I don't want to be too rough on it because this was their first game and again, developed by Total Mayhem Games. And I was actually looking into them and they are a small studio of like 15 to 20 people. And they started and met as 15 students from the game and design development from University of Applied Sciences in Rotterdam. So It was like a bunch of students and they're like, hey, we all get along. We do cool shit. I mean, I don't really know if that's how it went down, but and they got together and they made We Were Here in 14 days.
No shit.
That's incredibly impressive.
That is.
And as of late 2019, it has sold 1.5 million copies.
Well, holy shit.
I imagine that's only gone up now that it's on console and whatnot.
Yeah.
So again, like don't want to be too rough on them. It was their first game. It was a small studio. I'm excited to try the other two, which are called We Were Here 2 and We Were Here Together. And the reason I think I felt super compelled to try this game is because We Were Here Forever was just announced. And that's the new one, the newest one that's coming to
the fourth
like
one in the
PS5,
series.
Xbox Series X is okay. Coming out, I think, in late 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and from what I look like, it looks like different mechanics are introduced in the newer games where you can actually like coexist with the same person in the room. So You and I can be together for a little bit, but we'll have to split up. Some of the puzzles look a little bit different.
We should talk about what happened, unless you're going to get to this, when we finally met up and like.
Oh, I see. I feel like, together. No, we can't talk about that. I feel like that's like
Well, because I feel like you totally fucked me over and we need to talk about this.
No, that's an ending spoiler. We can't do that. No, get out of here.
Fucker. You just don't want to be, exposed.
No, don't worry. Don't worry, friends. You can make your own decisions when you play the game. I made mine and clearly he was not happy about it. Let's just leave it at that. So I got to ask you, because after we played, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I love escape rooms. They're like one of my favorite things to do when you're not in a pandemic, because it makes me feel like I'm in like a Resident Evil game.
Yeah.
Where you have all these things at your disposal. And how does it work? And where do the puzzles fit in? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I absolutely enjoyed it. I think we beat it in about maybe an hour and 45 to what, 2 hours?
Yeah, we're in 45. Something like sounds that. Right.
And I feel like it was the perfect amount of time for this kind of game. Like, I can see myself coming back to this type of game. Like, if we're going to play We Were Here 2 or We Were Here Together or Forever, I'd be down to do all of those, but I don't know that I could do them back to back to back to back. Mm. The formula, like, I'm typically more of like a gameplay kind of person, like we've talked about on other shows. But the formula was unique and fun. I don't think I've ever played a game like this before. So it was a totally new experience, and it really forced us more than any game I can ever remember to communicate. Like, it really relied, and I'm not just talking about like describe the room, describe the symbols. I mean, they purposefully make these things very, very detail oriented. So it's not just a fat cat. You know, if you just tell me, oh, I see a symbol that looks like a cat. Sure, I see one too. But you need to tell me, is it a fat cat, a skinny cat? Does the cat have horns? Does it have circular ears or diamond ears or legs or not? Like, you have to get detailed about every little thing in this game. It really causes you to dig. And I kind of liked that because I feel like we are detail-oriented people, and it forces you to, like, tap into that.
Yeah.
And clarify. So if you're like, okay, I see a symbol that looks like a dick, I'll be like, all right, describe this dick, you know, and it creates some good laughs too. Yeah.
No, I agree. It was actually a really fun concept. And if you were like down tonight to be like, I want to play We Were Here Too, I would totally want to play that. But like, I respect the fact that you need to go probably shoot shit. Cause that's the kind of,
I need to shoot some shit just to clear my palate. You know, that to me is how I clear my palate. But yeah, this is a game genre. It's a new genre for me that I haven't experienced. I did like it, and I would definitely come back to it and dip my toes in again, for the next series, the next game.
Yeah. And we didn't really touch on this, but, I know some folks listen to this show with partners who don't really play games, and the controls are incredibly simple. It's a walk, it's an interact button, and then you know, Jason didn't find out to the very end that you can crouch and jump.
Yeah, you don't even need
and
to do
unless
that.
You're playing as the explorer. Like, I think you don't really even need to I rarely utilize those.
I think you can play this game as an absolute beginner, or if you have a partner, spouse, whatever, you know, significant other who isn't a gamer, and you want to introduce them to a really fun
experience. Have them do the librarian. I think that would be the simpler one.
Yeah. This is an escape room that is in your house. That's what this is. This is not really a gameplay video game. This is a game about
communication, puzzle
solving puzzles together. That's what this is.
Yeah. Agreed. So, I mean, obviously, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a fun, unique experience, especially right now when we can't really go to IRL escape rooms. And again, for $4.99, you know, $10, $9.99, $8.99.
I think real escape rooms charge you what, like,
they're incredibly expensive.
$30, $40, $50 a person.
Yeah. And so this is a good way to do it. And again, like, if you like it and you just want to get the whole trilogy or all three games currently, they're like $21 or something on PlayStation and on Xbox.
Really, really solid deal.
Yeah. Good bang for your buck. And it's always good to support the indie devs and publishers. So friends, I think that will wrap it up for this episode of the Co-op Show about We Were Here. I don't know what's up with that accent, but
you're in the mood because of the castle theme, you know, you got maybe. That. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I need to like put on my dress and go waltz around.
Put on your feathered cap.
Feathered. I don't know. I want to wear a feathered cap.
Why not? I like the way you say cap.
Cap. I like the way you say books.
Books and caps.
If you like what we do on the Co-op Show.
This is how we talk dirty, by the way.
Oh my God.
Books and caps.
Don't give away all of our secrets. Jeez Louise, you got to keep some mystery in there. You can review us on your platform of choice. We would greatly appreciate it. A review goes such a long way, and it makes us feel warm and fuzzy. And every review we get, our dog gets a belly rub. Fun fact, that means we have 25 reviews. He's gotten 25 belly rubs.
He's always asking us for more. He's like,
he is. And sometimes we have to look at him with those big brown eyes and be like, sorry, bro, we didn't get a new review this week. Now we can't give you a belly rub.
Yeah.
You can get in touch with us at contact@coopshow.com. Check out our website at coopshow.com or find me on Twitter at Blonde Nerd.
Don't find me on Twitter. My Twitter sucks. It's very boring.
And it is boring, but it serves a purpose for your line of business. So
yeah.
Don't shit on yourself too much.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day, and we will see you next week.
Later.
Goodbye.